me to sing. And, I might have you join me singing in a little while. If you were here last week, I begin this series because I look at society, and this morning I was reading the newspaper on the internet. Okay, I don't read the paper. I was reading the internet paper, and road rage. Anybody been involved in road rage? Anybody ever experienced road rage? Now, I give road rage, okay? You know, I might experience it, but I'm going to be, I'll give road rage. I mean, but I was reading this article, and just this morning, some guy he turned himself in. He was trying to go to the road, and this girl and he were kind of fighting for a position into this lane. He pulled out his gun and shot her in the head and killed her. And I just read this, and it's just like, but it's the epidemic in our society. You know, and I began this series last week because we are living by our feelings today. We base our decisions, we filter our decisions through our feelings today. If it feels right, it must be right. You know, if I think and if I feel good, it's going to make me good. And we live our life based on our feelings. And I challenged us last week. I read this article on Oprah Winfrey's page. I read it, and I want to read it again because I think it kind of sets the message up. Here's what this guy's saying. It's this, why being in your heart is better than in your head. And he says this, in the same way with a decision or a conflict, your mind may come up with numerous different and quite logical reasons why you should act as it advises. But if you listen to you and trust your heart, however illogical or irrational it may seem, it's usually right and you are happier as a result. I'm going to ask you, has anybody here ever made a emotional decision relationally that you look back on going, what was I thinking? You know, financially, you know, you go to Costco and you make those emotional decisions at Costco. You know, I just got to have it. You know, our society has come to this place where we filter our decisions through our feelings. Facts don't matter. Logic doesn't matter. And last week I found this statement I shared with you. We call it what they call it is a post-truth society. Truth doesn't matter anymore. It's what you feel that matters. And I was reading that article and the definition of this post-truth, and that's why I ended a certain way last week, and I'm going to end again this kind of this week on it. You know, that if I disagree with you, then I'm a hater. You know, I grew up where we can agree to disagree. Anybody grew up with that kind of, can agree to disagree, and you know I still love you, I still care about you, you still matter. It's just we have a different opinion. Well, that doesn't work today. If I disagree with someone today, I am a hater. I am intolerant. I am judgmental. And so I was wrestling with this. That's where these two messages last week and this one come up. This is kind of ending this series. It's just two messages. Because I want people to know I have compassion. I love people. You know, I ended with that verse that Jesus looked at the people and had compassion for. I see a hurting world out there. I don't know about you, but I see a hurting world out there. I see people who are hurting because of decisions, emotional decisions. And they wrestle with those. And so this morning, I kind of want to, don't trust your feelings. I like this passage here. Get your little outline out. Here's this verse. It goes like this. There's a way that seems right to man, but in the end, a way to death. How many of us could tell those stories? Those dating stories? You know, I thought he really loved me. I thought she was the right one. It felt like real love. Buying a home. Buying a car because a car is going to make me feel good. Anybody buy a car because it makes you feel good? Come on now. My first car, you know, it was a Mercury Capri 4-speed, big motor in it, third gear scratch. Come on. You know, teenager, 64 Mustang convertible, you know. pop the hood down, drive around town. Man, I'm cool. I feel good. Come on, am I the only one? You guys sit there like you're so innocent. You know? We do. Our feelings are important. I want to make sure you understand. I'm not going to say ignore your feelings. I'm not going to talk about ignoring your feelings. I'm talking about we need to put our feelings in there in the proper perspective. And last week I had this key verse was that story when Jesus tells about, you know, well, there's a song. I thought about making you guys stand up and do the song. All right, but I'm not going to do that. All right, I'm sure you know the song of the wise man and the foolish man. You know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his on the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Anybody know the song? The floods came up and the rains came down. The floods came up and the rains came down. The floods came up and the rains came down. But the house stood firm. Anybody? But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down and the floods came up. The rains came tumbling down and the floods came up. The rains came tumbling down and the floods came up. The rains came tumbling down and the floods came up. And his house went kersplat. How many of us made decisions? How many of us have made decisions? Thank you. How many of us have made decisions? You know, we built it strong. We think we got the right decision. We think it's the right thing. We're moving in the right direction. And then all of a sudden, boom, the world crashes in around us. Anybody? Your heart gets crushed. Your finances fall apart. Yeah. See, we live in this world that says, you know, if it feels right, it's right. I put it this way. If you got your little outline out, I skipped that one verse. It's there. You can see it. I sang the song. That's good enough. It can't be wrong when it feels so right. Anybody? It just feels right. It makes me feel good. I get those tingly feelings when I get around her. I get around him, you know, my heart just flutters. It's the right thing because it just feels right. It has to be right. You know, and we're living in this world that lives. Now, again, I want to make sure, I don't want to ignore feelings. Now, some people, you know, as I was doing the research, some people are feelers. You know, they feel more than others. That's not me, all right? I'm that logical, analytical person. You know, to me, it's just, you know, let's figure it out logically. Others are, you know, they go more with their feelings. And it's good. We need to have those feelings. God created those feelings. He expects us to have those feelings. But that doesn't make a good filter for our decisions. And that's what I want us to talk about this morning. That what do I filter my decisions through? Now, should I throw my feelings and have some weight in my decisions? You know, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I want to say something, but I don't because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Anybody? Sometimes wisdom says, keep your mouth shut. You know? Anybody ever, you know, you're biting your tongue so hard you're bleeding? You know, it's like, I want to say something, but I'm not going to say it. You know, Laura and I have that little thing. It's like, Laura, if I go like this, it means I'm biting my tongue. How about on Facebook? You know, your thumbs ever get you in trouble? You know, you're responding out of feelings. That guy said something. I was right and they were wrong. And so I got to post it. Do we see that in our society? I don't think any of you are like that, right? None of you guys ever. You know how to manage your feelings. See, I think we need to step back. And what's interesting is this is not a new problem. It's not like all of a sudden, hey, guess what? Feelings have always been a problem. They've always been a battle as we look at our decisions and we filter. And what I'm asking you to do this morning, this is hard. I want you to be honest about your decisions. But see, the story goes way back. Thousands of years ago is where the story happens. Matter of fact, the story happens in the beginning. Oh, that may be. You know what game God plays? Anybody? You know what the first game in the Bible is? Baseball. You know why? Because in the big inning, God created. Come on, give me something there. It was the big inning, right? You know? God created this big, beautiful world. The Garden of Eden, he calls it. Now, and I think our world is a big, beautiful world. I don't know about you. I can go to the mountains and see some great beauty. Anybody? There's a lot of great beauty around our world. And God created this big, beautiful world. And then the epitome of his creation, the top of his creation, is you and I. And he puts us in this big garden. He says, it's all yours. It's all yours. Everything is yours. Be a good steward. Take care of it. We need to steward our world, even today. You know, we need to be good stewards. It's all yours. But God wants us to have freedom. God didn't want us to be robots. God didn't want us to be mechanical. He wanted us to have freedom. And so he put in that garden, he put a tree, right? Anybody familiar with the story? You know, he put this tree in the garden and says, you can have everything but this tree. Now, if you ever raised a child and you put everything in the house and say, you guys can have everything in the house, but just don't touch that. How many have to safe-proof their house when you get children? Anybody? You know? Because that one thing, well, it's the same thing. But I want you to look at the story, and I want you to see what's going on in Eve and Adam as they deal with this. It's in your outline. Here's this. Now, the serpent was more crafty. Why don't you circle that word crafty? We're going to come back to that in the message. The serpent was more crafty. We're going to come there. Than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden? That you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, you may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it. Now, kind of tells you just real quick, she's already thinking about this tree, okay? She's already seen the tree. She's already noted the trees there. She's already seen this fruit on the tree. So something, you know, this is not the first thought that came to her mind. Because she's already expanding on God's word. It's like, I look at the tree, now I want to touch it. And it's like, no, I can't touch it either. That's not what God said. He said, just don't eat it. Garden, but he did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. Now listen to what's happening here. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, made her feel good, pleasing to her eyes. Oh, doesn't that look nice? That nice red shiny apple hanging. I don't know if it's an apple or not, okay? But it's hanging there. And desirable. I want this. It would make me happier. For gaining wisdom, she took and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her. He has no excuse. And he ate it. Then the eyes of both were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Do you see the feelings involved? Do you see the emotions involved? As she's standing there looking at the tree, this crafty little serpent winds its way up the tree and begins this conversation. And she's looking at it and she's thinking about it. And then she takes and eats because, you know, God was holding out on me. God had some other things he wasn't telling me. And if I eat from this, it's going to make me feel better. It's going to be some goodness in my life. But then after she ate of the tree, what happened? They realized. Anybody have your feelings? You know, you feel it's the right way. You feel you're going the right way. And then all of a sudden you realize. And so I wrote this, if you look at your outline, I wrote it this way. Feelings are deceiving. Feelings are deceiving. It can look good. It can look fine. It sounds good. It sounds sweet. It sounds awesome. Look at that nice red Washington apple hanging. Now, again, I don't know if it's an apple or not, all right? Not even from Washington, I don't know. But I just have this picture. Nice, shiny brand new red convertible. Isn't that nice? It'd make me feel good to have that car. You know? It would make me happy. Anybody want to be happy? Happy, happy, happy. I got this. You know, if I was dating her, I would be with the in group. You know, I'm dating the football quarterback. It looks so good. I would fit in. You know, it'd make me feel good. And anybody? Here's this red apple, and I want it. I want it. I like the way the Message Bible says this verse. Look at what it says. There's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. I like the way he wrote that. I like the way he said that. It felt right. It felt like it was the right thing to do. I know it doesn't make sense. Anybody ever say something like that? I know it didn't make sense, but at the time it felt right. And we filter these decisions and they lead us wrong. They're deceiving. You know? And we make these mistakes and we look at this and we're just going, what's going on? And how's it happening? And most of the time it's self-defeating. You know, they have this promise. I want you to notice that, you know, here's this promise. You're not going to die. Matter of fact, it's going to make you better. You're going to be better. You'll know more. You'll be wiser. You'll look better. You'll act better. You'll be a better person. You'll fit right in. And we do this. And what I like about that story there in the garden is, think about this. In the garden, it starts out with, she ate of the tree, and now I made this mistake. I messed up over here, but how do I fix that? By making another mistake. I'm not going to go tell God. I'm going to go hide. I'm ashamed. Anybody make a decision you're ashamed of? Don't raise your hand. You know? Decision you regret. And it's like, oh man, what was I thinking? Yeah, I'm kind of ignorant, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't know what the walk of shame was until just a year and a half ago. It's like, what's the walk of shame? Oh, that's the walk. Okay. You know? Some of you guys are sitting, you still don't know what it is. All right, I'll tell you what it is. It's a night of sex with somebody that's not your husband. You walk out of that. You know, it's like, it is a walk of shame. But we make these decisions based on our feelings. But I like the story because it was a shame. They did it, and then they're ashamed of what they did, so they hide. I'm going to make these fig leaves. Doesn't that make me look nice? You know? See, our feelings are deceiving. They promise things that they can't fulfill. If you just have this, you'll be happy. How many of you ever bought something that you thought was going to make you happy, and you get it, and you're wondering, why did I want it? That relationship, you know, you're dating the guy, this girl, and you know it's going to make me happy because I got a boyfriend, I got a girlfriend. Or how about this job? Yeah, I got the perfect job. Anybody ever get the perfect job? After the first date, ain't the perfect job. Anybody been in that one? Yeah. It's that perfect job. This is the perfect job. Then you get the job and you realize, man, this is work. I don't want this. You know? See, we live with these feelings and they're deceiving. They lie to us. You know? Oh, you'll be okay. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, don't worry about it. See, our feelings lead us down the wrong path. But I want to go back to that word crafty, because I wrote it this way. The devil plays your feelings. The devil plays on your feelings. He knows how to use it. And it calls him crafty, because he'll craft things up. He'll fix things up. Now, let me ask you this. If I had and brought a big old garbage bag out here, and it stunk to high heaven, all right? And you could just smell it, all right? And it's leaked off all over the floor out here. And I say, here, I got this for you. Who wants it? Who's going to come and get it? But that's not what the devil does. the devil will take that garbage and he'll wrap it all up. And it's your birthday. You know, it's a good day. And I got this nice, beautiful package. You know, it's from Saks Fifth Avenue. You know, it's still got the sticker on the side where they wrapped it there. And you paid extra to get it wrapped. You know, bowed up, fixed all up. And here the devil comes with this package. Isn't it pretty? Doesn't it look good? You'll be wise. You'll be like God. You'll be happy. You'll find joy. You'll find peace. Here, just take my garbage. I don't care what you say. Garbage wrapped in a present or in a bag, it still stinks. But our feelings lead us down the wrong path. And we fall into this, and we look at all this stuff, and the devil just kind of walks beside you. You're walking through life, and hey, just look at that girl over there. Just look at that girl. Nobody's watching. Nobody's looking. Just push that key on the keyboard once. That's all right. Nobody's going to notice. You know, we get sucked into these kinds of things. But he lies, you know. Everyone's doing it. Anybody remember that one? Everyone's doing it. Come on, when you were teenagers, you guys don't tell me you never said that. I tell you, it's fun when you go to church, everybody acts so innocent. But yeah, everybody's doing. Nobody's going to know. This is just this between us. This is what I like. This one with Satan. Let me tell you, this is what happened to Adam and Eve. Satan's like this. Listen, it's us. Nobody's going to know. Just take this little red. Just take this. Nobody's going to find out. Don't worry about it. Don't look around. And Satan says, nobody's going to find out. Nobody'll ever know. And then you do it. And then Satan is sitting there, hey, whoop, look over here. You know, isn't that how Satan works? Nobody will know. Nobody will find out. Then Satan turns the light on. Flash, flash, look what Gary did. You know? But Satan will tell you, nobody's going to know. You know, and he'll say like this, you know, well, God's holding out on you. You know? Yeah, there's more to life that God's kind of holding out on you. You know, God hasn't told you everything, and God hasn't given you everything. And, well, you know what? You're just worthless. You can't do anything right. You know, your life, I was reading a Facebook warning, and I feel sorry for this young lady battling things of the past. And it's been a year ago. She changed her life, and yet people won't let her past go. Anybody? And we live these kind of things. You're worthless, you know. You can't do anything, and you don't matter. That's Satan, you know. And he says these kind of things to us, and he does these kind of things. And we deceive ourselves. We need to understand Satan is tricky. Paul had the solution. Paul, if you turn over to the book of Ephesians, Paul gives us that sixth chapter. It's called the armor of God. And he rhymes that up with this as he begins it. Put on the full armor of God, so you can fight against the devil's evil tricks. Is the devil tricky? Yeah. Just kind of tricking you around, kind of pushing you around, kind of directing you, you know, kind of using your feelings. Well, you know what? You know I shouldn't have drank so much, but I was just depressed. I was just so depressed that day. You know, yeah, I got my DUI, but I was just depressed. I know I shouldn't have drank, but I just felt like I needed that drink. Or yeah. You know, I know I'm married, and I know my wife, and we're struggling right now. And that girl that kind of looked at me kind of, you know, and it's kind of like, we're just talking around. We're just having a cup of coffee together. You know, we're just going to have a cup of coffee. We're going to go out to lunch this time, you know, and we're just going to talk, and we're just going to visit. And but she makes me feel important. She makes me feel good. My wife is, it's quiet in here, doesn't it? You know, because he's true. You know, we do these things, you know. I know I'm wrong by the way I treat my neighbor, you know. I know I shouldn't treat my neighbor that way, but he made me so mad. See, the devil just sits there and just tweaks things around, and he's playing on our feelings, and he knows how to do it. Now, some of us are married here, right? Some of us are married here. Now, how many of us, don't raise your hand, okay? How many of us know what to do to tick our spouse off? You know what button to push. You know, it may be one word, you know. And you know, and it's like you hold it back until the right time, and then you just throw it out there. And then it's a feeding war, right? It's a feeding frenzy. Well, that's what Satan does, you know. He's just kind of taking you around, and he's kind of showing you around, and then he's exactly what to push, exactly how to play this out. You're running tight on schedule, and you hate being late. You despise being late. There is no excuse for being late. All right? That's me. All right, I'm not talking about you. You know? You guys know my rule. 5 minutes early is 10 minutes late, all right? You hate being late, and you're late, and the dentist office is around the corner, and there's some moron in front of you going 20 miles an hour. Who do you think put that guy there? Satan did. All right? Yep. I got an appointment. I got to be somewhere. I go to the doctor's office early. I'm in the doctor's office early. But I got to get somewhere. So I went early. I had 2 hours. I'm the second one to see the doctor. Number two to see her. And they're 35 minutes late. And I'm number two. They go in and take my blood pressure. I was so calm. No. I was fit to be tied. So guess what my blood pressure was? Sky high. So guess what? They give me another appointment to do a EKG on me. You know? Anybody ever? Satan ever play those games, or is it just me? Am I just the target? Satan don't look at you guys. He just, where's Gary? Let's see, go get him. I know I can get him. You know? We let our feelings just run crazy on us. You know? Another $45 to the doctor. Yeah, thanks. Anybody ever? It just piles on. That's what I like about that story with Adam and Eve. It's like, yeah, I messed up, and I, you know, we ate. Then we're going to go hide. You know, it just, that's the shame and regret and remorse, and we make it worse. Yeah. Now, see, feelings are important. I'm going to keep saying this. Feelings are important. Don't ignore feelings. But they don't make a good filter for decisions. Yeah. It's not the best way to step back. You know, like that article, I can't believe the guy sitting there saying, go with your heart, even though it might seem illogical. It just doesn't make sense. And so I want to challenge us this morning to be honest with ourselves. You know, am I really being honest with myself? You know, my feelings, am I really being honest? I think too often we're making these emotional decisions, and where they end up is we end up crashed and burning. We end up with $10,000 worth of credit card debt. You know, that's the national average. And for me, just so you know, for me, I have zero, so that means somebody's got 20. We end up in these relationships, and our lives are messed up, and we can't, it just seems this cycle of one bad relationship after another bad relationship after another bad relationship, and we can't, you know, we end up in our homes because our marriages, well, I thought I loved her. It felt like the right thing. Now I don't feel like I love her. I wasn't sure about the decision in the first place. I've heard that. And we live this. See, and this Satan walks around. Hey, shh, come here. Look at this. Look at this tree right over here. What did God say about it? What did God say? He knows how to play the game. You know, oh, the Bible. Don't worry about the Bible. This is written by a bunch of guys. see, and we hear these feelings. And I see this in our world today. How many could say you see this today? You look at the news, you look at your world, you look at the family, look at the people around you, look at your family. And their choices they made, and you see where they're at, and you realize, you know what? What were they thinking? So here's what I want to say. Depend on God's wisdom, not your feelings. See, I think we need to kind of step back and seek God's wisdom. Look at what it says. There's some really important teaching here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Kind of says, trust God, don't depend on your feelings, right? Is it kind of what it says? Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. I like that part. I'm so smart. I got life all figured out. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Wisdom, not feelings. See, what we need is wisdom. We need an honest look at ourselves and say, is that the wise thing to do? You know, if I really stopped and thought about this, is that the wise thing to do? I like that part. You can trust God. But see, what the devil wants to tell you is God's holding out on you. Isn't that what the devil told Eve? God's holding out on you. You know, if you eat from this tree, if you take from this tree, you're going to be just like God. God's holding out on you. God doesn't want you to be happy. Does God want you to be happy? But let me tell you something. God wants you to be happy, but happiness just depends on circumstances. I was praying. I was talking to someone as we were coming into church, and I think about Paul. In the Bible, there's a guy named Paul. And Paul's going around planting churches and helping people, children of God. And he's going all over the known world at the time. And he ends up in lots of trouble because, like our world today, they don't really like Christians. You know, they're kind of picking on the Christians. And Paul's out there trying to tell people to be Christians. And all this stuff's going on. He gets stoned. And I'm not talking about marijuana. You know, he gets literally stoned with rocks. All right? You know, and he whipped and beaten, all this stuff, thrown in jail. You know, all this stuff happens. And he's sitting and he's singing. And he's singing. Now, do you think Paul was happy? I don't think so. But do you think Paul found joy in the Lord? Isn't that more important than happiness? A joy? A peace? A comfort. See, that's the wisdom of God. See, I want to be happy too. But I am not a happy camper sometimes. All right? This is fireworks booth. It's work. I'm not happy. All right? You know, they were giving me a bad time. I'm turning darker. You know, somebody was saying, man, I got a good tan sitting out there. You know, I'm tired. I'm not happy. But you know what? I'm going to tell you what. I'm having fun, joy. And I'm sitting there visiting with people. You sit there for 3 hours talking to somebody. You know, and visiting and enjoying life and drinking soda pop that I don't usually get. Thank you for bringing sodas down here. Because I don't buy it, but I get to drink it now. They're yelling at me for drinking too much soda. Because it's not happy, but there's joy. See, and that's what wisdom brings. See, are you honest with yourself? Do you want happiness or joy? Are you being honest with yourself? Happiness depends on your circumstance, depends on the fleeting things that are around you, depends on your feelings. But they're unpredictable, and they're inconsistent, and they're fickle, and they're fleeting. But do you want joy? See, I like that. See, I want to tell you something. God's not holding out on you. He wants to give you wisdom. And he's not waiting. And wait, you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you. All you got to do is ask. God, I got these decisions to make. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but sometimes I pray and ask God to help me make a decision, and it's like, where are you, God? Anybody been in that one? It's like, God, I prayed, and I don't know, and I prayed, but I don't know, God. Gary's problem is a brick wall guy. I'm going to go, you know, make the best decision I can, and then, God, if I screw up, pick me up. Because here we go again, God. But ask God for wisdom. Ask God for direction. See, I'm going to tell you, God wants you to succeed. God wants you to... See, I really believe when God created Adam and Eve and he put them in that garden, God wasn't going, how could I frustrate them? You know, how I kind of poke at them? I don't think that was God's plan. You guys think that was God's plan? No. I create this big, beautiful world so I can put some people in there to aggravate. Yeah, that sounds like fun. That wasn't God. God put us in the garden to succeed. Anybody on that one? God put us in the garden to find joy, to find peace. That's why God put him in the garden. I think God wants to put us in this world for the same reasons. Matter of fact, I put the verse at the bottom because I think this is the key. I think this is what God wants for all of us. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants. But it comes from wisdom, not feelings. I guarantee you this. Now, you can call me crazy. You can say, that's an old man. You can say, I'm out of touch. And, you know, I'm a hater, all of this. But I want to tell you this. If you keep following your feelings, your life will crash and burn. Guaranteed. You can tell me, oh, Gary, you're crazy. No, I guarantee you. But I'll guarantee you this, okay? I want you to know this. If you keep following your feelings and you crash and burn, call me. I'll walk with you. I'll help you get back on the right road. All right? I will. I was reading that post. This girl had all sorts of F-bombs in her post on Facebook. Had said all this stuff. Her life's kind of in a mess. She posted all this stuff on Facebook. And I was trying to figure out, how do I respond? You know, F-bombs and telling people to go places that they shouldn't go and all this. One of the young ladies here in town that I've known for years. How do I respond? I want to post something. You know what I posted? Praying. Sent it. Guess what? She posted, I like that. Posted some more F-bombs and stuff again today. Yeah. I posted, I'll be praying for you. When our lives crash and burn, I want to tell you something. I want to be there because God is. All right? So if you're going to follow your feelings, I'm sorry. Please don't. Be honest with yourself. But when you crash and burn, just give me a call. Give this church a call. We have people here that will walk with you, that will be with you. Because I guarantee if you live by your feelings, you will crash and burn. Guaranteed. 100%. It might be today, and it might be 20 years down the road. I don't know, but it will happen. But I want to tell you something. God's grace is always there. God's mercy is always there. And as a pastor of this church, I want this church to always be there. I might disagree. I might not like the F-bombs. I'm going to go out and get drunk. I'm going to deal with it this way or that way. I'm not going to say I like that. You know, I didn't post I like that. But I want this church, and I want to be, to walk with people. Because we all make, I'm going to include you, okay? We all make dumb decisions on our feelings. Most of us, yesterday. Some of us, it'd be today. But God looks down and has grace and compassion. Don't be fooled by your feelings. Don't let Satan walk around whispering in your ear, you're worthless, you don't matter, you'll never amount to anything. Don't let Satan walk around like that to you. Don't let Satan, nobody knows. Nobody's watching now. Nobody ever finds out. Let me tell you something. Whatever you post on the internet, it ain't never going to go away. Never. Whatever you post on Facebook, you can post it one day and take it down. Somebody took a picture of it before you took it down. You know, you can push a button, one button on your phone, and you get a picture of it. All right? It never goes away. See, that we live by our feelings, and we say things, and we get things, and we do things. They ask you, will you be honest today? Are you living by your feelings? Well, I felt it was right. I feel I'm doing the right thing. I feel I'm going the right way. Or are you living by wisdom that God wants to give? He's not holding out on you. He wants to give. Are you living in the grace of God's wisdom? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank your truths. That you are a gracious and merciful God. That just like Adam and Eve, Lord, we know better. We know we shouldn't. And yet, we let our feelings get the better of us. We let our emotions make our decisions. Lord, I want to pray for wisdom. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe there's some decisions you need to make and you need wisdom. You know, God, I don't want to go with my feelings. I want to make a wise decision. I'm going to pray for you. Shoot your hand up. Let me pray for you that you may have wisdom. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Maybe you've made some unwise decisions and now there's regret and there's shame. And you want me to pray for you that God's grace can carry you through this time. Would you shoot your hand up? Let me pray for you. Just let me pray for you. Thank you. Lord, I just thank you that you are a gracious and merciful God. And we all have decisions in our lives. Hundreds of them every day. Decisions that impact us and our families, our friends, and those about us. Lord, I pray for wisdom for these, for those who've shot their hand up to seek wisdom. Lord, I enjoy our feelings, and we enjoy the goodness, the joy, the happiness our feelings bring. But joy, but above all, Lord, we want to make wise decisions. Decisions that have long-term effects, that you will prosper us and give us a hope in a future. So bless these that are here, Lord. Give them a peace that's understanding. Give them a wisdom to answer those questions, to make those decisions. In Jesus' name, amen. We pause into our service. We give an invitation. Invitation is real simple. I'm just here to pray. I don't know what God is doing in your heart. I don't know what God has said to you through this message. But I want to be here to minister to you. Maybe there's some battles you're going on. Maybe there's some regrets. Maybe there's some remorse. Maybe there's some needs. I'm here to pray with you. The greatest need you have is Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never crossed. You hear me talk about there's an invisible, you know. And I was just reading an article today. 80% of people think they're Christians in America. You notice I said think. Well, I'm a good person. You know, I go to church every once in a while. You know, I don't lie. I don't steal, at least most of the time. I try. But that doesn't make you a Christian. A Christian is somebody who's reached a point in their life where they said something along the line, God, I'm just tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come to my life and take control. And you want to do things God's way. That's right here. You know, I want to make those wise decisions. And I ask you to pray that prayer right now. God, I'm just tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. In my life, take care. That's what a Christian is. Maybe you need to make that decision. Maybe there's some other decision. I don't know what God is doing in your heart, but I'm here. You want to pray about that decision or any other decision, any question, any way, maybe a need, maybe a heartache. I don't know, but I'm here for you because of God's compassion.